The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to the Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Things that cause sin will inevitably occur, but woe to the one through whom they occur. It would be better for him if a millstone were put around his neck and he be thrown into the sea, than for him to cause one of these little ones to sin. Be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he wrongs you 7 times in one day and returns to you 7 times saying, 'I'm sorry,' you should forgive him." The apostle said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The apostles are moved today to cry out to the Lord, "Increase our faith." They knew they needed that augmentation because of what Jesus had said to them about millstones and about forgiveness. But for them to set the type of example he was asking of them, especially in terms of forgiveness, was going to require far more than natural ability. It was going to require God's help. Let's see why. Things that cause sin will inevitably occur, the Lord tells us today. But woe to the one through whom they do occur. The Lord wants our example to be something that brings people to faith rather than scandal. But often our example can drive people away from the faith when we do not behave the way people think that someone who is living with the Lord Jesus ought to behave. That's why St. Paul in his letter to Titus in today's first reading described what the criteria are for the discernment of whom the Lord would be calling to serve as priests and as bishops. These were men who were supposed to be irreprehensible rather than men who caused scandal. He listed the various virtues. First is to be blameless, which is the exact opposite of scandalous. Married only once. In other words, someone capable of living the continent chastity of holy orders. If a person had married a second time after his first wife had died, that would be a counterindication. So we wouldn't want to have that scandal of somebody forsaking the Lord for someone else. With believing children who were not accused of licentiousness or rebelliousness. If a human father was unable to raise his own children in the faith, not only would the children be a scandal, something that a lot of Protestant ministers have experienced over the course of their tenure, but then also, how would they be able to raise other children in the faith, those who are not their own biological children? Must be blameless, like that person going up to the altar in the responsorial psalm with a pure heart and clean hands. Not arrogant, but instead humble, just like the master who he's supposed to learn from. Not irritable, but approachable. Not a drunkard, but someone who was sober and alert. Not aggressive, but meek, like the Lord. Not greedy for sordid gain, but somebody who is spiritually poor because his treasure is in the Lord. Someone who's hospitable because he recognizes every guest is Christ in disguise. Not just someone who does goodness, but who loves goodness, who's a good tree producing good fruit. Temperate and self-controlled, because they've got that discipline that comes from being a disciple. Just, giving to God what God is owed, giving to others what they deserve. Holding fast to the true message as taught, so that he will be able to exhort both with sound doctrine and refute opponents. Somebody who's a real lover of the truth and who fleshes it. And to summarize all of these attributes, holy, just like the Lord, his God, who has called him, is holy. This is obviously a high standard for anyone, which is why the apostles cry out to the Lord, increase our faith. One of the most important areas in which we need to live according to the gospel is with regard to forgiveness. This is the essential message of our faith. As Pope Francis has said, the essence of Christianity, all of the gospel, is here in this message of mercy. And Jesus tells us today, if your brother sins, rebuke him, but if he repents, forgive him as many times as seven times in a day. Some of the times we think we deserve a gold medal if we give somebody a second chance, or something even greater than a gold medal if we give somebody a third chance. Jesus is asking us to give somebody an eighth chance every day. And we know that that number seven is a magic number in Hebrew. It basically means infinity, that we're supposed to be regularly forgiving. In that same scene in St. Matthew's Gospel, when Peter came up and asked, how often must I forgive? As many as seven times. Jesus said, no, not seven, but 70 sevens, which is sometimes translated as 77 or sometimes 70 times 7, 490. But regardless, we're supposed to always forgive because the Lord never puts a limit on his own mercy, provided that someone is sorrowful. And in that version of St. Matthew, Jesus went on to give the parable of the two debtors. One who owed 10,000 talents and was forgiven. Another who owed 100 denarii to that one who had been forgiven the 10,000 talents, who was throttled at the neck, even though he had shown all the same gestures as the first man who had been forgiven. In today's money, if somebody made $100 a day, the one who had been forgiven 10,000 talents would have been forgiven $6 billion. And the one who owed 100 denarii just owed 13,000. And yet there wasn't forgiveness there. When somebody approaches us and we fail to forgive, it can be a great scandal, because we're supposed to be the ones who show the whole world that forgiveness from God is possible. But if they don't get it from those who represent God, it can be the greatest scandal of all, that they can think that whatever they did would be a sin unforgivable even by the Lord himself. For us to live by Christ's standards rather than set scandal is a very difficult thing, because people have high expectations for us. If we speed at 66 miles an hour on the highway, somebody can take scandal. If we're having a bad day and we don't treat them the way they believe Christ would treat them, it can be something that is nourished for years and can be a darnel sown inside their heart. But the biggest scandal of all is when people see us holding grudges, where they see the conduct that comes when we haven't forgiven, badly speaking about others to third parties, and everything else that comes from the fact that there's a part in us that yet hasn't received adequately the mercy of the Lord so that we would pass that on. When they see in us that we're not living by the principle we pray several times a day in the Our Father, that unless we forgive others their sins, neither will our Heavenly Father forgive us ours, they're misled. Today, we say with regard to forgiveness, Lord, increase our faith so that we might forgive like you never cease to be able, never cease to forgive us. So the Lord is calling us to live by our faith today, to live with integrity, to live with consistency, so that by our example, we're able to draw people to the faith rather than build walls for them to follow the Lord. St. Paul wrote at the beginning of today's first reading to Titus that he was writing this letter for the sake of the faith of God's chosen ones. He was writing it precisely to strengthen the faith of others. And that's what the Lord wants us to do in our writing, in our speaking, and particularly in our body language. Today we celebrate a great saint who did just this, who did everything to try to build the faith of others. When he was the Archdeacon of Rome under Pope Sixtus III, he built up the baptismal faith of the people, writing all types of poetry in order to strengthen people to grasp what the meaning of baptism is. If you ever go to the Lateran Baptistry, which I like to call the oldest baptistry in the church after the Jordan River, you've got a beautiful octagonal baldachin over the baptistry. And on each of the eight plates, you've got verses written by the future St. Leo the Great, precisely to help people grasp what the meaning of baptism is. That we're entering into Christ's own light and leaving the old Adam behind. St. Leo increased the Marian faith of people. He was the one charged by Pope Sixtus III to build the Basilica of St. Mary Major in order to enshrine in Rome the doctrine of the Theotokos, defined the previous year in Ephesus, that Mary was the mother of the one who was Son of God. He tried to strengthen the Christological faith of the entire people of God. We see that in his great Christmas homilies, but we also see it in how he intervened in the Council of Chalcedon with his famous Tome of Leo, showing that Jesus was 100% God and 100% man, against Eutyches, who was saying that Jesus had a human body and a human soul, but not a human spirit. That was a divine spirit. Leo defended that Jesus was 100% like us, so that if we were to enter, accept sin, so that if we were to enter into his humanity, we would be brought into his divinity, which is the whole reason he took on our humanity in the first place. St. Leo tried to help us always to live consistently with these truths that we know in our faith and that we're supposed to assimilate in action. That famous Christmas homily we read every Christmas day, he reminds us, O Christian, remember your dignity. You who through baptism left darkness behind and entered into the light, live always as a child of light. That's the message that Jesus is giving us today, to live in his light by always setting good example, so that others in seeing the light of our good deeds might glorify our Father in heaven. To set that light of God's mercy so that everyone will believe that mercy is possible for them. And the great way we are made capable of this is here at Mass. Every time we come to Mass and our Amen, we're asking the Lord to increase our faith and we're professing it in the most powerful way known. It's here, even if we receive the tiniest little particle, the size of a mustard seed, that can grow in us so that we can truly become priests and religious of faith. It's here that we receive the blood shed for the remission of sins, so that we can go with that blood flowing through our veins to remit others' sins, as many as 77 times a day. As we come forward to receive the Lord today, let's make the Apostles' Prayer our own. Lord, increase our faith so that we might not be scandals, but signs of contradiction to a world that needs to convert in order to live by the gospel of mercy. Praise be Jesus Christ.